guys can have a seat. All right, I hope you have a Bible and a student guide. That's what you're going to need for tonight. Who could tell me which book of the Bible we've been in?
John,
right? The Gospel of John. So this is where we're still going to be. We still have pretty much the whole month of February. We're going to be in John also. So just know every week you're going to be in there. The song we just sang where it says, "You are the way, the truth, and the life." We're actually going to read where Jesus claims those things in 2 weeks. We're not quite there yet. But this week is going to be the beginning of us kind of looking at that statement from Jesus, because we're going to be in John chapter 10 tonight. So if you have a Bible, flip over to John 10. How many of you went on middle school retreat this year? All right. You remember what our theme was?
Follower.
Yeah. Bonus points to Logan. All right. Sweet. So follower, we talked about this. We read through this passage. So some of this is going to be recap and reminding ourselves. Some of this is going to be new for you. Maybe some of the things will touch a different place in you because you're at a different place in your life. I want you to think about, though, who are people that you rely on a regular basis? Who are people that you rely on? Okay, your parents? Okay, yourself? Okay. What? Okay. How do you get from place to place? Okay, technology. Okay, a bike. Okay, you walk. Okay, so think about this. You're in a car or an airplane or a bus or something like that. You rely on the people that made that vehicle, and you believe that they did a good enough job at their job that you're going to be okay getting where you're going, right? If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't ride in that vehicle. Trust me, I have been in some cars before that I saw it, and I was like, I don't know about this. I don't know about this, all right? Yeah. Yeah. I went to Mexico one time, and the roads were so hot that our shoes, we started feeling the rubber on the bottom getting, like, tacky because they were sitting on the floor of this bus, and it was so hot coming up through it. We were like, our shoes are coming apart. So in that moment, it makes you really worried about, okay, man, I really hope the people that made the tires on this van did a good enough job making it, and they made it the right way. I really hope that this van doesn't fall apart. I hope that if it does, the driver knows what to do. Like, you realize how dependent you are on a lot of other people along the way to be doing their job so you can rest safely in that, okay? What we're going to look at today in John 10, Jesus is going to make two of his I am statements, okay? So we've been going through the Bible, beginning with Exodus, where God says, I am who I am. And then looking at when Jesus says, I am, he's making a claim to be God, but he's also showing part of who he is by using an illustration. So we've talked about, what are some of the ones that we've said? I am what? Okay, bread of life, that was one, yeah? Okay, I am, right? That was the first one. What else? That's this week. Lie of the world. Okay, there we go. So those are our three so far. I am who I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. So we've talked through those three. Tonight we're going to get two more of them because Jesus uses both of them in the same talk. Okay, so he is going to give two illustrations, and we need to familiarize ourselves as we read through this text. Now, I want to give you the first point before we ever even really get into it, because I'm calling this "we the sheeple." Okay, anybody ever heard the term sheeple before? Not steeple, not the pointy thing on top, right? Okay, people who are sheep. So There are, now, it's not literally people that are like, bah, and like, you know, have wool and crawl around. That is creepy, okay? No, sheeple. So it is a term that gets used in our culture, and here's how it's used. It's used by people who think that other people are easily manipulated, okay? That there are people that can be easily controlled or directed. People aren't able to think for themselves. They're dumb. They just kind of move in herds. And that is because sheep are a great illustration to think about people, especially when it comes to how they think about things, and especially how they live spiritually, okay? So I entitled it We the Sheeple tonight because as you read this text and as we discuss it tonight, I want you to understand the first point is who the sheep are in the story, okay? The first part is we are the sheep, okay? So as we read through this text, you need to understand we are the sheep. Now, Jesus is going to talk about sheep that are of his flock, of his fold. Those, we believe, are people who are believers. So listen, a lot of what I'm talking about tonight is going to be directed at people who proclaim Jesus Christ is my Lord, he's my King, I've surrendered to him, I'm following him with my life, and I'm growing in that relationship. If you've never done that before, I need you to understand that you are not the sheep of his flock yet, okay? You have the opportunity to respond and to become a sheep of his flock, but you need to understand if you are a believer, we are the sheep in the story. Now, what does this mean according to what I just said? It means that we act dumb a lot of the time, okay? Now, not just like silly dumb, but like we make dumb decisions. Sheep are really dumb, you guys, okay? I read a story this week about a sheep that, got lost away from its flock, and it had not been sheared of its wool for 6 years. Now, to give you some reference, typically, a sheep will get sheared like every year, maybe even more often. A sheep's fleece typically weighs somewhere in the range of 10 or 15 pounds. So over the course of the last 6 years, this had accumulated. And just imagine like what a brown cloud would look like. And that is what this sheep looked like. It was just poof, like a brown cloud. Because it had not been shorn in such a long time that its fleece weighed well over 60 pounds. And I'm like, that is terrible, okay? But this sheep had just wandered off. It had left the flock, and so it wasn't being tended to. It wasn't being cared for. I've seen videos before of where a sheep has fallen into a hole. And guys, it makes sense if it's like a big hole like this big or something. On the outside, this hole was like this big. And I was like, what is this guy sticking his arm down it? Like, there's going to be a snake in there or something. This guy reaches his arm like this far into the ground and pulls a like full-size sheep out of the ground. It had somehow fallen down into this tiny hole in the ground. Sheep are dumb. It's like if they can get themselves in a bad spot, they will. And shepherds have to tend their sheep and lead them because, one, the sheep will just wander. They'll just do their own thing. If one of them gets going away, maybe another one will follow him. And then soon, like, the whole group is just kind of moving all together. And then if that first one falls off the side of a cliff, listen, the whole group does not go, whoa, that guy just fell off the side of the cliff. We should probably not do that. They just follow right after him, okay? It's dumb. And I read this story about how there were like hundreds of sheep that have fallen off of a cliff in this process. And the only ones that survived because the ones under them basically caught them and braced their fall, like giant cotton balls basically underneath them that just kind of like, oh, you're okay. Yeah, dead cotton balls, right? Sheep. So, okay, sheep are not smart. They'll also, they are adorable, okay? But listen, sheep will stay in an area and eat everything that is in that area that they can eat, and then they'll just starve. They don't understand how to actually look for food. If they wander, they just kind of wander off and typically die, okay? Sheep are animals that are made, really, to be shepherded, okay? Now, the word shepherd, which, of course, my last name is Shepherd, spelled differently, but my name, Shepherd, comes from the job shepherd, as in sheep herding, okay? And so this is an ancient practice. People still do it to this day. I've got some pictures for you. So you can see here, these are all sheep, okay? There's a bunch of rams that have the horns. The ones that don't are ewes. And you can see there are lots of sheep. Now, when we think of herds, a lot of times we think of cowboys, okay, is kind of what comes to mind for me. I think of cowboys. I think of them on a horse. I think of, having dogs that kind of run among the herd and get them moving in a certain direction. That's not how they do things. Hey, guys, listen up, please, okay? That's not how they do things in this culture, though. They don't drive them from behind. They actually lead them from the front. That's how the people in the Middle East shepherd. They lead their sheep from the front, and they call them to follow after them. So there's a lot of similarities we're going to see in how Jesus leads his flock into how these shepherds lead their flocks too. So let's read a little bit here, and then we'll explain some. So John 10, starting in verse 1, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Now remember, that always means like, listen up, because I'm about to say something really important. So he says, "He who does not enter the sheep fold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Kind of redundant, right? A thief and a robber. But he's really like making the point of how bad that guy is. Now, a sheepfold, I've told you guys about this before, looks something like this, kind of like a Gaga pit almost, okay? But here's how it works. You have rocks, which are plentiful in Israel, especially where Jesus would have been. And the rocks are built up into a wall that is meant to protect the sheep from anything that would come and get them. So in the Middle East, you have wolves are actually like really popular there. So those would be very dangerous. And so the sheep are kept inside a fold at night. And then during the day, the shepherds take them out into pastures where they can eat the grass. Now, this you can obviously see, well, if a wolf wants to get in, all it has to do is walk in right there, right? Easy. Well, here is going to be something that is going to be a distinction, is this gate is guarded, okay? There's actually something that is to go there, and we're going to talk about that. But Jesus is saying, look, whoever enters this sheepfold by climbing over the wall, that man is a thief and a robber, a.k.a. he's up to no good. He's there for destruction. This is what Jesus often uses as an illustration to talk about truly Satan at work. He says, a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you may have life abundantly. And so he says this, and then he says in verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. Now let me explain this. Shepherds would do the work during the day of taking the sheep out into the pasture. And so they would walk them out into these areas and lead them. And then in the evenings, there would be a fold like this, and there would be someone hired to take care of the sheep. And so if I have my flock, let's say I've got 30 sheep, and then Mr. Justin's got 40 sheep, and Mr. Luke's got 50 sheep, we're all there. We can get all of our sheep into a fold and hire one guy who's going to be the gatekeeper. Now, what the gatekeeper does is he gets to sleep right here. Okay? He basically sleeps right in the gate. He becomes the gate. Okay? He becomes the gate so that nothing can enter the sheepfold the right way without going through him. So when he says the gatekeeper opens to the shepherd, that's because he knows him, right? Bless you. He knows him. He knows that this guy is the one who cares for the sheep. He says the sheep hear his voice, the shepherd, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So a shepherd has a very distinct call, and this is really important for us to be able to understand two things. One, okay, this is our second point. Jesus is the door. So in this illustration, Jesus is the door, and he's going to explain this in just a minute. So he is the door. He's the gate, as it is translated in some ways, some translations. And then, I'm going to give you the third point too, but I want you to hold on to your guide. Jesus is the good shepherd, okay? Both of these statements are going to come up here in just a minute, so you need to know who Jesus is. He is the gate, and he is the good shepherd. Now, if I was a sheep herding shepherd, I'd probably be really bad at it. I don't know what to do. I don't really know how to take care of sheep. If you gave me a sheep that had a really long fleece and it needed to be shorn, I would have no idea how to do that. I would be like, okay, there's scissors, and I guess I cut this off. Like, if you know how to actually shear a sheep, then you can do it very efficiently. It can all come off basically in one piece. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how much food they need to eat, how much water they need to drink, how fast they can walk. I don't know things like that. I would not be a good shepherd. Yeah, it's funny, right? So Jesus, though, he's going to say he is the good shepherd. And he says the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So he comes to the sheepfold. Remember I said there would be several different flocks there. He calls them out. He leads them out. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Have I shown you guys the video before where the different people stand at the fence and they call for the sheep? Have I shown that to you? Okay, I thought I had. Man. All right, here's what happens. You can go check this out on YouTube later on. Here's what happens. There's a bunch of sheep up on this hill, and there's a fence. And so this tour bus comes along, and they stop, and they're taking pictures. And the shepherd comes over and talks to the people. And he tells them, why don't you try to call the sheep over here and get them to come? So the people are speaking, and they're saying, here, sheep, you know, come here. Hey, come here. You know, all that kind of thing. The sheep are not doing anything. They don't care at all. They don't trust those people. They're not responding. They're not even, like, lifting their head and looking over. They could not care any less that these people are trying so hard. Here's what the shepherd does. The shepherd goes over, and shepherds in the Middle East have a very distinct call. The way that they call for their sheep is special. So they'll have some kind of, like, here, 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 or whatever. I don't know, okay? It doesn't sound like a sheep. No, it's a totally different thing. Some of them, hey guys, some shepherds actually have a song that they sing. And so the sheep grow up hearing this song, and they understand that this shepherd, when they hear this song, they follow. And so this shepherd comes over after all these people have tried. And the shepherd goes over, he sings his song, and the sheep just like flock to him, literally, right? Okay, they flock to the shepherd because they know him. He's a good shepherd. They respond to his voice. And Jesus says, this is how my sheep are. They won't follow a stranger's voice. They follow me. Now, verse 6 gives you a little bit of hope because it says, the people heard this and they didn't understand. So Jesus explains. Again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So if you have a pen, which I hope you do, underline I am. Okay, underline I am, because that's what we're doing. No, in the Bible. Yeah, in verse 7. Okay, I am the door of the sheep. Yes, in your own Bibles, okay? So he says, I am the door of the sheep. Now, Jesus is speaking 2,000 years ago to a group of Israelites. They were Jews. They were looking forward to the Messiah. And listen, for hundreds of years, people had come along saying they were the Messiah, that they were going to deliver the people of Israel from like Roman captors and the Greeks before that. They have been promised so many times, and Jesus addresses this, and he says, all those people that have come before me and claim to be who I am, those are the robbers that have climbed in over the wall. They're not there for anything but themselves. So he makes a distinction, and then he says in verse 9 again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, when I say I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly, what comes to mind for you? Okay, good. What? Food, okay. What does it mean? If someone said, here, I'm going to give you life, what does that sound like? Freedom, life. What do you mean? Like, I mean, okay, when I hear this, I think this person is going to give me, like, anybody ever played the old school Zelda games or something like that? On Zelda, you could earn a little heart, and that was a life. So if you got injured by one of the creatures in the game, you could earn a heart, and it would be broken in half then, and then if you got hurt again, you would lose that half, and then you'd be dead. For me, it feels like at first that he's saying, I've come to give you a heart, right? Like an extra life point, 5 extra years of life or something like that. That's not what Jesus is getting after. Now, the other side of that, some people think of when he says, I've come that you may have life abundantly, they take this to mean Jesus wants everyone to just have a bunch of money, have fun, and just live life up, okay? Enjoy it. That's not Jesus's point either, okay? There's something greater than that, and that is what he has come to give. Verse 11, I want you to underline again. He says, I am, and this is that third point we had, I am the good shepherd. So this is his fourth statement of I am. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. All right. So this is how it works oftentimes in our life. If you didn't have to pay for something, you don't care about it. I see this like on a weekly basis around here. You didn't have to pay for something, you don't care if it gets broken. Okay? I mean, in general, A lot of times we don't act like we care about the things around here, and that's a problem, and we need to work on that. But Jesus is saying, look, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So when the wolf comes along, guess what? The good shepherd cares enough about the sheep because he bought them with his own life that he is in the fight. He doesn't let the wolf just come along and snatch up whatever it wants. AKA, look, when we are under spiritual oppression, attack, when things come along in our life that desire to destroy us, to steal us away, guess what? Jesus doesn't leave you. Jesus doesn't just leave you in that hard time. And it's like, well, you got to do this on your own. And some people bring up things like, oh, Jesus will never give you more than what you can handle. That's not what this says. The sheep can't handle a wolf. They can't. The wolf is built to be superior to the sheep. The difference is the sheep in the flock of Christ have a good shepherd who is there to take care of them. He loves them. He's not like the hired hand. Listen, the hired hand is the guy that's the little babysitter that sits in the door. So when the wolf comes along and he's afraid, he just runs off because he's like, look, y'all don't pay me enough to get eaten up by a wolf, all right? Y'all don't pay me enough. Jesus is like, look, I gave my life for these sheep, and I'll lay it down. Jesus cares for you and me so much that, listen, he literally came down from heaven, lived as one of us, as an impoverished, homeless person, walked around ministering to others who were considered unpopular, unclean, the lowest of the low. Jesus serves them and then says, oh, and all of you who are enemies of God because of your sin, I'm going to lay down my life for you. And then I'm going to raise from the dead to show that you can have new life through me. Jesus did that because of who he is as a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Yes, Brandon.
Did Jesus ever
have to eat? It definitely seems like he ate food. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going, okay? So the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Christ has come so that the sheep may have life abundantly. All right, verse 14, I want you to underline again. He says, I am the good shepherd. So he's saying that I am statement again. And anytime we see that, remember, he's repeating himself on purpose. He's repeating himself to make sure, hey, if you miss the significance of this, I'm going to say it again. Now, I don't know how many of you try to do well in school or how many of you don't really care. What I've learned in my however many years of being a student is when a teacher says something and then they say it again, like if it makes it to the slide, it's important, okay? If they keep talking about that, you better know it because guess what? It's going to be on the exam, okay? They're going to test you about it. You're going to get a quiz, and that's going to be the answer. So it's always really difficult when you have, like I had a professor last semester that it seemed like he would just barely skim over something, and then it would be on the exam. And I was like, you barely talked about that at all. How am I supposed to know that's important? Okay, Jesus doesn't do that. He repeats himself on purpose to make sure, hey, did you hear it the first time? If not, here it is again. He says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. This is a great thing for you to know, is Jesus knows you as a follower of Christ, and he desires for you to know him too. And this is part of when we talk about being in prayer, reading your Bible. It is because in prayer, you are lifting up to God who you are, what your anxieties are, what your needs are. Not that he doesn't know that, but you are making those things like available to him. You're bringing that before him. And then by reading his word, we get to know more of who he is. That's why we're doing this study right now, is because Jesus says, I am, and he's telling us who he is. So we need to study that so we actually know who our shepherd is. Because listen, if you think that Jesus is the hired hand and that Jesus doesn't really care about you, you're going to not follow him the way you will if you believe, really, that he's a good shepherd that loves and cares for you. Here's four things I want you to think about when you think about the good shepherd, okay? So we trust in the good shepherds, and I want you to write this down, okay? First, in his provision. So we trust in the good shepherd's provision. That is, we trust that God is able to provide for us everything we need in our life. We trust that Christ's sacrifice on the cross is enough to pay for all my sin. That there's nothing I can do to lose my salvation, and there's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. It's all through Christ's work and what he has done. So we trust in his provision, just like the sheep trust that the shepherd is going to lead them out to good pasture. They follow him, and they trust that he cares about them. He will provide for them. The second thing we have to trust in is the good shepherd's protection. There's a lot of things in the world that want to destroy us, distract us, and just keep us caught up in what's going on here that we can see. And Christ has come to show us what truth is so that we can actually live in a way that we're meant to live. And he's come to be able to protect us, one, from our own sinfulness, but two, from our enemy, the devil, who desires to destroy us, to distract us, to keep us caught up in what's going on TikTok instead of actually trusting in Christ and learning who he is more. Man, if I asked you guys how many TikTok videos you watched this week versus how many verses you read this week, it would be embarrassing. It'd be embarrassing. I don't either, but guess what? There's other things that distract us. Okay? That's just an example. Video games, TV, YouTube, text messaging, back and forth. I mean, we can waste away all of our extra time with just a few of these things. So we have to be intentionally following the Good Shepherd. The third thing we trust in is the power of the Good Shepherd. Sheep are powerless when the enemy attacks. They are unable to get themselves out of that hole that they fell in. Okay, we have to trust in the power of Christ, that he's able to do what he says he will do. And this is why you open your Bible, you read it, and you see, wow, God says that he's going to do things, and guess what? He always does the things he says he's going to do. And since he never changes, he's always the same. It's the same God that created the world, that spoke to Moses, that empowered David, that worked and walked here on earth and empowered the apostles. It's the same God that lives in us, the Holy Spirit. Guess what? He can do everything he says he's going to do in your life too, and in my life. If we aren't reminding ourselves of this, listen, if we aren't reminding ourselves, we don't act like he's the good shepherd. We don't act like he is powerful enough to do what he says he's going to do. So we've got to learn to actually trust in his power. The fourth and final thing is his promise. Is his promise. So Jesus promises he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's come that you may have life and have it abundantly. He's come that, and he's going to come again. He hasn't just left us here. I think some of us think that Jesus left us in the sheepfold, and now it's up to us. We're on our own. He's never coming back. That's not true. We have to trust in the promises of Christ. And when we look at Scripture, we see God is faithful to always do what he says he's going to do. This is greatly illustrated. I want to show you guys an amazing picture. Let's see if it works. No. Yes. Yeah. Oh, go back. Come on now. Why is it not working? Oh, so sad. I don't know why it's not working. Can you get? Yes, there it is. Okay. So this is our dog, Benji, okay? He is amazing. He's so good, right? All right, so Benji. We got Benji when he was about a year and a half old. He is still a puppy. He's like 3-something now. So I play disc golf. I throw discs for him just about every day, and our entire front yard on one side is tore up because he runs and just, I mean, is scraping it up, tearing it up. He loves to play fetch. He'll chase it down, catch it midair. He'll run around stuff. He goes to the door as soon as you're, like, by the door. Listen, you guys, I was literally putting on my socks this morning, and as I'm like this, putting on my socks, his nose is right here at my foot. Like, he is so excited. Scott's going outside because he's putting on socks. He's going to put on shoes. He's going to go outside. I might get to play Frisbee. Like, he gets so excited. He's so excited about it, okay? He's excited for it. And he knows if I say Frisbee, his little ears perk up, and he's like, What? What's going on? He loves it, okay? He loves it. He gets excited for that. He knows what I'm saying about a few things, right? And Frisbee is one of those things because he knows Frisbee is this little circle-y thing, and I love to go chase that around, okay? He is berserk. And so we'll let him out in the yard. And listen, he can run all around in the front yard. But there's a guy that lives across the street from me, and Miss Jane knows, Mr. Cecil. He's got a couple of, like, little chihuahuas. And one of them thinks he's the meanest creature on the planet, and it's not. His name is Moose. Whatever. So if they are in the backyard and Benji hears them, he will run up and down the fence, back and forth, just tantalizing them. Like, hey, you can't get me. Ha, ha, ha. Like, he is a jerk in that sense, okay? And then he'll go and run all over the place. But he's not supposed to do that, right? He's supposed to stay in an area. So we're working on training him to stay in that area. So we have a little collar for him. And the collar, it is a shock collar, okay? But listen, it's a shock. So it has like what's called static. Okay, it has a vibrate, so it like buzzes on him, and that has a beep, okay, so it'll just beep. So Benji will typically put that on him, and I've got the remote, and I can just make it beep if he runs away, if he's running up and down the fence, and that gets his attention, and he comes back, okay? He comes back. The problem becomes when he's so enthralled in what's going on that doesn't get his attention, okay? This becomes a real problem if he runs out in the road and there's a car coming, right? That's dangerous for him, okay? So I have to use the other means through that remote to get his attention so that he'll come back, okay? I don't like to have to shock him, okay? I don't use maximum setting kind of thing. But what I do is I get his attention so that he will return back. Now, shepherds in the Middle East will do something similar where they have to train their sheep to stay within a certain distance of them and not to wander off. And some shepherds will actually go and they'll take their sheep that has wandered off, they will break one of its legs, and then carry it back to the flock and tend for it. Because what it teaches the sheep is you cannot wander away. It is a problem. It is not safe. Because listen, it is far better for a sheep to have a temporary wound than to forever be killed by a wolf because it wandered off, or fall off a cliff because it wandered off. Because then it has to stay with them, okay? It has to depend on them. Now listen, in a similar way, listen, we've got to actually think about how we're following Christ. Does Jesus have to do something as drastic as using the shock collar or breaking our leg to get our attention? Or are we making special efforts not to be distracted by the things around us, not to be enthralled in the, you know, the figurative dog across the street that's just got us focused in on that? Are we actually listening for the voice of Jesus, or are we distracted? And listen, I think that some of the things that come along in our life are there because we're not listening to the word of God. We're not paying attention to what God desires in our life. And so he uses other means to get our attention. Because ultimately, it's like us playing in traffic or standing on the edge of a cliff and being in a very dangerous place spiritually, where you're going to make decisions that are going to impact the rest of your life. You're making decisions that are impacting other people's lives. And God sometimes is going to use things in order to get your attention so that you have to rely on him again. What I want to challenge you is to be listening to the voice of Christ in your life rather than all the other influences around. If you guys were to call for Benji, he might come to you for a third of a second, but only like as he's running by, okay? He won't pay you any mind. For me, though, he knows, one, I'm the one that typically feeds him, lets him out, lets him in, cleans him, cares for him, right? He knows that I take care of him. So when I call for him, he knows my voice, he comes to me, he listens most of the time, not perfectly, right? Okay. Not perfectly, and that's what we need to be working on in our life, is are we becoming more responsive to Christ's call in our life? Are we submitting to him as our shepherd? Do we believe those things about Christ, his promise, his power, his provision, his protection? Do we know those things, and are we trusting in them, or are we so distracted with the things around us? Or like Benji when he's distracted. That's what we act like a lot of times. And what I'm saying is, for you to grow more spiritually mature, you've got to be reducing the distractions in your life and on purpose listening to God's word. So in your student guide this week, I've got some questions for you. We don't have journey group Sunday night because we're going bowling. But listen, those questions are there in your student guide for you to think about. One or two of the questions talk about, like, how do you discern, how do you know what is God's word and what is just, like, your own selfish desires? What is other people's bad wisdom, okay? There's a difference in knowing this is what God has to say about this versus this is just what I want. But listen, as you become more really trained in like trusting in Christ, you get to know what his voice is. You get to know how the Holy Spirit is leading you by spending time in his word and by surrendering yourself daily to his work. You actually have to like take time in your day and say, hey God, I want to do what I want to do. Help me to do and want to do what you want me to do. That's surrendering yourself to the Holy Spirit. And we have to do that throughout the day. When somebody ticks you off at school, you've got to respond by saying, God, here's how I want to respond, but I know that you don't want me to respond that way. God, help me not to be distracted by this or to follow these people's influence in my life as they would lead me astray. Help me to follow you instead. Because ultimately, remember, Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one that leads us, who cares for us, who's willing to give his own life. So here's what I encourage you to do. There's more in this chapter. I want to encourage you to study the rest of this. We talked a little bit about it at Fall Retreat. So if you want, you'll be familiar with this. And you can study the rest of it this week. Work through your study guide, okay? Work through your study guide this week. And what we're going to do is next week when we come back together, we're going to have some discussion around that here at Lyft. And then we're going to get into the next I am statement. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's going to be a really good start also for us as we're looking forward to John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you think about the first part, the way, okay, the way is the gate. The truth is kind of its own standalone, and then the life, he says the resurrection and the life. So Jesus is going to repeat himself in some of this, but he's going to use different circumstances to help us understand it. I want you to study, though, and see, how am I listening to the word of God versus am I listening to the distractions around me? Okay, let's pray, and then I want to remind you of a few things. God, we thank you for your word. I ask that you would help us as we go this week to be listening to you and not so much distracted by the things around us. Lord, everything in this world is trying to pull us in and to get us to buy something, to follow someone, to do something. Lord, we take a moment here and ask that you would be drawing us to follow you in our life. Help us to rely on you, to trust in you, that ultimately you would gain the glory through our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.